Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set pop.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So we just have to first say, Jimin, Park Jimin. We did not mention this last week because the news really hadn't come out when we had recorded the episode, but he reached number one on Billboard Hot 100 with Like Crazy. Oh my fucking God.
Congrats,
I'm so proud of him.
Jimin. Yes. I'm so proud of him too.
Yes. He so deserves it. He is also the first Korean soloist to reach number one on Billboard Hot 100. He broke Psy's record. Psy had reached number two with Gangnam Style in 2012.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's kind of mind-blowing.
That's mind-blowing
to me.
Gangnam
Style was huge.
Yeah.
So that Jimin is the first Korean artist to make it on number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like solo artist at number one.
Yeah, and I do want to mention, he came out with remixes to Like Crazy. He had reached number one before the remixes were released. It wasn't like the release of the remixes that boosted it at all.
No.
This is all Park fucking Jimin.
It's all authentic.
Yes. Ugh. I'm so proud of him, and he is so amazing. He so deserves
this. The song deserves it.
Yeah. Totally.
So congrats to him.
Yes.
Wow.
Congrats, Jimin. Also, the track list for D-Day came out. We are so excited that this, you know, is coming, this comeback is happening, and the tracklist had a couple real standout songs to us. I mean, obviously People Part 2 already came out. We are going to be talking about that today.
Yeah.
But something that stood out immediately was Huh?
Featuring J-Hope? Yes, the soap. All the soap.
Crazy. Yes. I just have to say, Jordan, my husband, ever since this album has been announced, he's been saying to me privately at home that J-Hope is going to be on it.
Yeah.
And I've been like, no, he's not. They haven't been on each other's like solo albums. No one's collabed on their albums. Like, I don't think Yoongi would have one on there. Of course. I'm wrong. Jordan's right.
And I mean, he had Namjoon on D2.
Right. I mean, I guess I was just thinking about like their solo releases in Chapter 2.
Yeah, yeah.
They haven't like collabed on each other's stuff yet.
Right.
But yeah, good point that he was on Strange, and now it's cool that J-Hope is here with Huh.
Huh?
Huh?
Reminds us a little bit of UGG.
Yes, totally. Yeah. I hope it has like the same vibe.
Yeah, or even Dang.
Or Dang, I know, right?
Oh, God. With two rappers?
What if it has hidden track Dang on this album?
Oh, no. That's not going to happen. Sorry. Hate to break it to you. It's not going to happen.
Probably not.
It'll never happen.
He also has Amygdala on here, which the amygdala is like the fear receptor in your brain. So I just feel like that song is going to be really fucking cool. Like, what is he... what's the production going to be like? How's he going to spin it? What's he going to be really talking about?
I'm curious about SDL. What's the acronym mean? Which is so funny because we were talking about acronyms earlier.
Yeah, we were. Oh my gosh, that's so weird.
It's the theme of today. Yeah.
Another huge standout was Life Goes On at number 10. Mm-hmm. And we know that BTS have a song Life Goes on their B album, and that was really like their pandemic, we're getting through it, we're gonna be okay song there that they had. And you know, when this first dropped, I was asking, like, this is so interesting. This isn't Life Goes On Part 2. Like, we've had Set Me Free Part 2. We've had Airplane Part 2. We've had People Part 2. But Life Goes On, same title, not a Part 2. Well, now, you know, we've seen this old clip from B Promotions resurface where Namjoon and Yoongi are talking about the guide to Life Goes On that Yoongi made and how it was so good, but they weren't going to release it because it was destined for a later release or another project. So here it is. So
here
this must
is.
Be like the original guide.
Yeah.
And also J-Hope is credited on this Life Goes On.
Oh,
so he might be like in background vocals or might have helped with the production of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it so interesting how this demo can be so different from the original Life Goes On.
Yeah.
That it would create, like, it'd be a totally different song.
A totally different song. Yeah, me too. So I'm really, really looking forward to all of the songs that we have coming up. But of course, today we're talking about his pre-release People Part 2.
Yeah.
My number one album. Big shocker to me. Also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders, so be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
Lamar just is that. Like, it's a perfect album.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be talking about People Part 2 featuring IU. We're going to get into the production and lyrics. And then we're also going to talk about the music video.
Yep. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts. I know this week on our sound check, we're talking about Smoke Sprite, which we have not had time to talk about in an episode yet. So if you're interested on just hearing a little bit about our thoughts on Smoke Sprite, you know, check out our sound check. Normally they're just like real cute little conversations, but sometimes they're content driven as well. So if you've never checked them out,
and take a look. Also, the next Iconic Hangout is going to be April 17th. So that's about a week away. So definitely check that out too. It's always so much fun. We're going to be talking a lot about Jimin's release and we're going to be talking about D-Day and all of that. So join us over at the Iconic Hangout.
Yeah.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but any type of support is super appreciated.
Yeah.
All right. So for the month of April, it is National Occupational Therapy Month. So this month, I was really wanting to support the Stroke Foundation. A lot of my patients are stroke survivors, and oftentimes they don't get the therapy services that they need because of just insurance usually denying them or whatever. It really comes down to money. So the thing about the Stroke Foundation is they actually help a lot of these stroke survivors gain access to more rehab services by getting them grants, providing just the resources they need to be able to get back a lot of their function that they can get back through therapy. So definitely check out the strokefoundation.org to support them there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and get into People Part 2, but I feel like first we kind of need a refresher of People Part 1, since that was originally Yoongi's song on D2, and we do feel like they're going to inform the other and be connected.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they definitely play off of each other. So just to give an overview of People Part 1, this song has a very mellow tempo, just as People Part 2 does. Lyrically, the song discusses characteristics of how people change, and it talks about how one can feel that they're either inherently good, but then the next day feel bad, how we think about our lasting impact on the world, but also how we're fading or maybe feeling insignificant, or whether or not we're living extraordinary or ordinary lives. So that's a lot of what People Part 1 talks about, but People Part 2 seems to elaborate more on the emotions that are experienced when we are changing or things around us are changing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and get into people part two. Thanks for the refresher on people part one. That's so helpful. A little background of info on people part two. It was just released on April 7th. And Yoongi so far, he said that this is just like a preview of what's to come for the full length album. It really seems like with D-Day, he is making the music that Min Yoongi wants to make. Mm-hmm. He's not making it for the expectations of others at all.
No.
He, at the end of the music video for People Part 2, tells us that he's expressing how he was feeling during the pandemic and that it's him talking to himself, but it's also a story that he wanted to share with others. And at the time, he felt that he had lost everything, so the song really conveys the message that he wanted to tell himself.
Yeah, I love that he shared that at the end of the music video, because once we get into the lyrics, it's a little hard to kind of tell exactly what he's talking about, so having that background information is super helpful. In an interview with Billboard, he talked a lot about the original title of this song. So the title originally was going to be Sarah, which is S-A-R-A, and it's a partial word that he intended for the listener to finish themselves with whatever consonant that they want. So by ending the word with an M, it would make it Saram, which means people, or ending it with NG would make it Sarong, which is love. And so I thought that was really clever and really neat, with people and love being such a theme of this song. But I guess he had a friend listen to it, and the friend found it initially confusing and misunderstood it for Salah, which means live. So he just decided to stick with People Part Two and went with that. But I find it so interesting. It also makes me think of Trivia Love and how Namjoon has also played off of the word. So anyways, just a little interesting bit of information. In the same interview, he spoke that he wants to keep his personal meaning of the song vague so that it can be interpreted by people in their own way. So having a vague title like that, I can so see why he was what he was going for there. But I guess he just wanted to make the title a little bit clearer since the friend was so, I guess, confused by it.
I will say that maybe the friends had a point, but I think ARMY would have figured it out. Like, especially once we looked at the lyrics in verse three.
And the bridge.
Which we'll get to. But I love that he also, he set us up with like a little bit of the background of like meaning of the song with his little director's chair moment at the end of the music video. But I love that he's still keeping that overall meaning vague, because then we really can pull our own meaning there. So I think everybody will kind of get something different out of this song.
Yeah, we're all going to have different interpretations of it because of how vague it is.
So let's go ahead and talk about the vibe and production. This was written and produced by only August D and El Capitan.
Love it.
We say El Capitan all over this album track list already too. So love that. Of course, the song is featuring IU. We love IU so much. If you don't know her, she is a South Korean singer-songwriter with numerous top hits such as BB and Palette. She is known for her really dreamy vocals, her great songwriting, and she's also starred in some films too. So she's an actress. This is their second time collaborating together. Suga produced and featured on IU's 8 in 2020, and that was a really big hit song then too.
Yeah. We thought that was such a huge collaboration because they're just two icons in the industry, and they're also both so well-respected artists and musicians, and so the fact that they've come together twice now where she's featured on his song, he's helped and featured on her song, I just think that, you know, they must enjoy working together.
Yeah, a great synergy there.
Yeah.
So this song is just like 90s vibes all the way. 90s R&B is totally where it's sitting. It has like that really nice smooth bass line. There's like a drum kit with some hi-hats in it, like softer hi-hats kind of, and then like a strumming guitar, which I want to kind of speculate maybe that Yoongi himself is strumming the guitar in the background, because we kind of see him play guitar every so often. We know he kind of plays, and we see him playing it in the music video. So I wonder if he did.
Yeah, we'll have to check the credits
when it comes out.
Get the album.
Yeah, I'm gonna tear to that page immediately and search.
Look for the guitar.
Well, anyways, I love IU in this song. I think that she's just perfect. Like, her vocals are like this in this song, at least, this blend of her typical, like, really sweet airiness, but she's able to bring out this, like, soulfulness too. Mm-hmm. And you were talking yesterday that it sounds like she's really singing more from her throat instead of, like, her head voice.
She has a strong head voice. Mm-hmm. You know, she has these gorgeous vocals that she can hit all these notes, and it's very light and airy and very up here. You know, I feel like the vocalists where they're, like, coming from up here.
Totally.
You know, bring it down here. Right. But she seems a little bit more throaty in this song, especially at some of her ending notes. I hear a little bit more of that throat, which makes it just a little bit more soulful.
Yeah, it really contributes to it. It makes her really fit the 90s R&B style, you know. Mm-hmm. At times it almost reminds me of like R&B singers from then too, so I think it works so well.
I agree. So let's talk about Yoongi's rap delivery. I really feel like this is more of a relaxed conversational rap, and he seems more approachable in his rap style here. We've gotten this type of rapping from him before, but this just is like, instead of that real intense, spitting, kind of mush-mouthy Yoongi, this flow style is just very different, very conversational, like I was saying. It feels like he's speaking to us as a teacher would to, like, a group of students. It's not like a lecture, but that he's sharing his thoughts and giving wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, now we also know, since he said that it's kind of like a letter to himself, what he was saying to himself, he's speaking to himself here in, like, this calm, even-paced manner, you know? Yeah, it just works well. It doesn't need to be like that fire for this song.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Reminded me just a little bit of some of BTS's more relaxed early day songs like Rain and Coffee. Mm. Just a little bit. And I think it's because of that 90s influence. But don't get to see. I mean, we get to see this rap style from Yoongi every now and then. But when we hear it, it's just, he seems so calm and relaxed. And you just kind of want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. So let's talk about what he had to say here with the lyrics. He starts with the chorus, so we hear IU first. I'm just going to read the chorus and we're going to disseminate on it.
Yeah.
She says, "So time is yet now, right here to go. I know, you know, anything does know. So time is yet now, right here to go. Nobody doesn't know anymore." So, like, I mean, the first tweets I saw about this song, people were like, what are you saying? This is in English and I don't understand it. So I feel like the lyrics here are confusing. And it seems like they don't quite make sense no matter how you're trying to explain yourselves, if you're following like typical English grammar. But I feel like we feel like he did this purposefully.
It's intentionally confusing. So he says that this song is really about like when the pandemic was happening. He wrote it when the pandemic was happening, and what a confusing time the pandemic was. So also with all of the mention of like time, so time is yet now, right here to go. Like there's so many just ways of describing time, where it is, how it is, you know? And so time distortion was very much a thing during the pandemic. Like our days were just so disrupted. Routines were just out of the ordinary, like our everyday life changed, and there was that time distortion. Or I just remember, like, whenever it was like 2022, people were like, "Is it still 2020?" Like, no one, right. No one knew. Like, it feels like it's been years, right? So, just I kind of get some of that with the mention of time in this chorus. Also, no one really knew what was going on during that time, so people tried to make sense or provide answers when there still was so much unknown going around. So like this chorus is just confusing, and it feels like it's providing answers. It feels reassuring, but also very like vague. And like, I don't know.
It's like if a couple words were changed, it could make sense, you know, but because not, it's like we're stuck in this confusion kind of loop with it. And it's where we were all at that time. Like we did not know what was going on.
Nobody doesn't know anymore.
Exactly. I mean, and we're all in this like crazy time.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. We also feel like this could be Yoongi describing his loss of meaning in life during the pandemic. Like he has a very unclear meaning in the chorus. We even just briefly talked about like maybe this is his writer's block. Like a lot of the lyrics are all, you know,
just word jumble, whatever word he jumble, could get down. Because in the music video you see him struggling with writer's block. He talked about how he struggled with it during the pandemic, so maybe this is just like a writer's block, like nonsense, just showing that struggle of it.
But I will say that this chorus does have a very rhythmic feel because of the words that are used. Like now and go, no and now, anymore, nobody. Like it all just it kind of has this rhythmic feel to it.
Yeah. It feels a little bit of like sonic wordplay, mm-hmm. you know, like not literal wordplay, but phonetically how it sounds with like that now, the no and the nobody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that could also be some reason for some word choice just for how it would sound altogether.
Yeah, the flow of it.
Mm-hmm. We definitely don't feel like this chorus is put together this way because of like a poor translation or a lack of like English skill, because Yoongi knows some English, and we also know that like HYBE has like so many translators that mm-hmm. if he wanted to get like a perfectly translated verse for what he clearly wanted to say, then he easily could. This is definitely intentional that he did it in this way.
The chorus does sound optimistic, though.
It does.
I don't know why, even though it doesn't have a very clear meaning here. The time is yet now, right here to go, sounds like it's very accessible.
Yeah,
you know, and that like it's feel certain that whether it's here, whether it's there, to go or now or yet, mm-hmm. it's there.
I agree. I think that comes through in IU's delivery for sure. And I think it really sets the tone for the rest of the song, because the rest of the song itself really doesn't feel negative or anything. It does have that more like positive, hopeful vibe.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into Yoongi's first verse. So he says, "This thing called love, maybe it's just a momentary list of emotions. It's conditional. What is it that I love?" He's immediately calling love always conditional here, and he's questioning if he does even love anything.
Yeah. And he goes on to say, "Wasn't loved enough as a kid. That's why I'm the cautious type. I want a sincere connection with others." So I think that's why he might be saying like love is conditional here, is that he didn't feel enough love when he was growing up, and that when he does love, he's very cautious about it, or maybe almost expects the worst from it. Mm-hmm. Isn't very hopeful about it maybe because he's cautious. He's a little unsure.
Yeah.
And he really wants that sincere connection with others.
Yeah. But I think he's kind of uncertain if that sincere connection can exist. Mm-hmm. Because he says, "Forever something like a sandcastle. You know it comes crumbling down at the calmest of waves. What is it about loss that makes us so sad? Really, it's the dread that makes us so sad." So I want to talk about this like in two parts. I want to address the sandcastles first, because mm-hmm. this is like the third time that Yoongi has used a sandcastle analogy in his lyrics. He actually in 8 with IU. So it's so interesting that it's on both IU collabs mm-hmm. that he says, "Island, yeah, here's an island, a small one that we made with each other. Yeah, forever young, the word forever is a sandcastle." So again, the idea that forever cannot exist, just like a sandcastle, can easily crumble. Mm-hmm. And then, and interesting enough, Savage Love, most random of songs, I feel like. But in, in Savage Love, he says, "Maybe the word forever is just a sandcastle that collapses helplessly even before a gentle wave." Again, forever and the sandcastle coming up as like he really wants to believe in forever, but I think he thinks that it's truly maybe just gonna crumble away, that it can't really exist.
It also makes me think about like all of the effort that goes into building a sandcastle, like the effort in making forever happen. But that is still a very fragile structure that could so easily be brought down.
Totally. It's crazy. And the second part of this where he says, "What is it about loss that makes us so sad?" And he answers it with that it's the dread of the loss that makes us sad. And I think that this is the case when you can see the loss coming, mm-hmm. when you can see the breakup coming, when someone has like a terminal illness that you know is, you know, it has a finite ending, you see that happening, that dread of them going through that, that dread of that moment coming, the anxiety building about it, like that, and it just the sadness builds around it, right? Yeah. Or like the dread of, I mean, thinking about him in his shoes in the pandemic, the dread of losing the Map of the Soul tour, that potential of losing, you know, all of what BTS, they were literally at the top of their career mm-hmm. at the time that the pandemic hit. I mean, talk about the dread of maybe losing everything from that. Yeah. Like, what must he been feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it really makes a lot of sense. Like, the dread of losing something really can be the worst part. There's a lot of unknown. You're not sure if it will happen or if it could happen. And it just makes it unbearable through that time.
Yeah.
You know, when the loss actually happens and it's a point where you can kind of grieve and move on. But all of that anticipation, it can just be so unbearable.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. So in the pre-chorus, he says, "So far away, you're gone. Getting far away, too far away, you're gone. I know I have to know." Yeah. We love this kind of callback to So Far Away with Saran, which was on the original Guest D album. And we just think it's so phenomenal that we're getting a little callback to the very first, like, D series that he's done here.
Yeah, definitely intentional there.
So intentional, yeah.
Except now he's the one singing, so much growth.
He's the one singing, too, but also, like, Saran was his female feature on the first, like, D1. I want to call it D1, but it's called a Guest D.
Yeah.
But now he's singing this part, but this is also his female feature mm-hmm. on his third album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very neat. Anyways.
Very special.
So the "you're" that he's referring to here, we kind of interpret it as like being time. So you're gone, getting far away, you're gone. So since this is during the pandemic, we really feel like time is being lost, but also "you're" could maybe be like ARMY and BTS. Like, he could be thinking about them off of the Seoul tour that they ended up losing. Could be thinking about just people in general, people in his life that might be moving on because of this time, some of their original plans that they had, like their solo careers were supposed to be happening way before where they are now. Could even be like the new normal. Like, we heard that a lot during the pandemic, where it's like your normal is no longer a part of your life. Right. Like, this is your new normal. So he's just really grieving this here of like, so far away, you're gone. And at the end he says, "I know I have to know." And that just is like, he feels like he has to accept that these are changes and that they're permanent changes in order to like continue on.
Yeah. Oh, it's so tough. So agree with you. Then after the pre-chorus, we get the chorus again. And then getting into verse two, what's so interesting is he starts verse two with what he ended verse one with. So at the end of verse one, he was asking about what about loss that makes you sad. And at the beginning of verse two, he says, "What is it that makes you sad? Really, it's the dread that's so daunting. The us that dreamt of a future together is no more. We're the ones who tore down the sandcastle." So, like, I think, yes, it's totally the dread that's so daunting. That's like where we got to at the end of verse one. Mm-hmm. And I love here that he is using the pronoun we.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is very much him talking about him and BTS as a group.
It feels that way.
That is so where my head goes. It's where he was at in the pandemic too, where mm-hmm. they were all together trying to figure out what to do. The us that dreamt of a future together. That's them. That's BTS. They have been dreaming of their future together their entire career. Mm-hmm. And now everything that they've been doing is gone. Like, it just is. They're all of their dreams.
Everything's changed.
Everything.
Yeah.
But it seems like when he says, "We're the ones who tore down the sandcastle," it seems like they ultimately made that decision to, like, you know, they were like, "We gotta stop. We gotta whatever progressing."
They chose that,
they chose that. Whatever path we're going on right now, we gotta stop. That's why chapter two started.
Yeah.
You know?
For the well-being of the group.
I think so. For the well-being of the group, but like for the well-being of the individual members and the people.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like too.
But not an easy decision, mm-mm. right? But a decision that had to be made. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he's mentioning the dread and how like it's daunting to really not know what's to come after that, you know.
Exactly.
They can't predict where they're going to be at in 2025. You know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. But like, I do love earlier how you mentioned that the sandcastle there's so much work put into doing mm-hmm. a sandcastle.
Yeah.
And so like he's bringing the sandcastle here of like, we tore this that we created, that we put all of this work in together. You know, we're the ones who are also ending it and just saying,
it wasn't a wave that took them out.
Right. It wasn't a wave. It wasn't mm-hmm. just anything that crumbled them, you know? And I love that, like, the power in that.
Yeah.
I love the power in them ending their own forever.
Yeah.
And this is not me saying that I believe BTS are not going to come back together mm-hmm. in 2025. Like, I mean, Suchita, Jimin, Yoongi, like, They want to come back.
They want to come back.
They want to come back.
They want to fast forward to 2025.
They want to, but I feel like also this is such an important time for them to be able to have rest and also to be able to grow as artists on their own. Yeah. And, you know, when they come back together, it's going to be incredible because they've all been able to grow out of their youth, yeah, you know, which is what they've been asking for.
And I also think it's such a great opportunity for them as solo artists, yeah, you know, to explore their own music. Like, we would have never gotten
to
face.
Know that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would have never had Jimin at fucking number one on Billboard.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have never, like, Jimin would have never known that he was capable of that.
Right. It was daunting to think if they could stand on their own outside of just the group name of BTS, you mm-hmm. know, like Jimin mentioned that at Festa, like, I'm Jimin of BTS, yeah, you know, but he can stand on his own, you know, and I think like all of ARMY are going to love and support them as people and as artists. I mean, I know we will, mm-hmm, no matter what they do as individual artists or as the group, yeah, you know,
we're always supporting them.
Yeah. Yeah. So wherever they are to go, it's just amazing to see here in Yoongi's verse. Like, it's really in their hands, you know, yeah, it's fully in their hands. I think all of the decisions that they've made chapter two and on, it's been to reclaim their power.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. In the second verse, he goes on to say, "They say there are no winners or losers in this game, but I'm always the loser. We said we'd give our all, but we tore it all down. And then we leave because both love and people are selfish." I just have to say that this calls back to like the original title of like Love or People, mm-hmm, being the original title of this song. There are no winners or losers in this game, but I'm always losing. In the third verse, he goes on to talk about loneliness. I just feel like with no winners or losers, I feel like the game of it being like, it's like life. Like, no one wins or loses in life. But maybe he always feels like he's losing because he feels lonely. This is also during the pandemic time. That's, I don't know, Kayla, if you have any more interpretation
Also just going on because he continues to talk about, but we'd give our all, we tore it all down, mm-hmm, and, but they did it because both love and people are selfish. I feel like, you know, he's the loser in this situation, or he's always the loser because he's going to self-sacrifice himself, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to like, just not people please is not the right word, but he might like put his own desires aside, yeah, for the love of somebody else, yeah, you know, to be able to.
It's hard not to think of it like in terms of just BTS, yeah, and their decision to go this route. Like, if we want to interpret it that way, like, it makes some sense to say like BTS, whenever they make a decision, no one's a winner, no one's a loser. But maybe he felt like, maybe he felt like he lost something just because he had to sacrifice maybe some other things that he may have wanted, mm-hmm, for the benefit of, you know, of the group.
I'm sure that he could see, like, just like any of them, like pros and cons of, yeah, going to chapter two or not, right?
Yeah.
And so he could see like how he could lose in both situations, right, maybe, and he's pondering like that potential, yeah, loss.
I mean, he's really talking about the sandcastle they built, you, yeah, know, maybe he's mourning some of that, of like, this isn't easy to, yeah, go on to chapter two, mm-hmm, you know, and even though there's no winning or losing in this, you know, it's still upsetting, you know, right, there's still some dread that goes along with it.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say, when we leave, we do because of both love and people are selfish. And, you know, I feel like whether or not they've made decisions for personal benefit, you know, that they feel like they need as individuals, or feeling like, I love my members so much, like, I'm happy with whatever we decide because it benefits me too to see you happy,
right,
and to see the group healthy and happy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's just kind of get more into that love and selfishness, because, mm-hmm, just like he did between verse one and two, kind of connected those first and last lines, he did that between verse two and three as well. Mm-hmm. And really, verse three is all about the relationship between people and love, which,
yeah,
I mean, to me, yeah, that original song title would have totally made sense and have, yeah, been so cool.
We love
cool.
the original song we love title, Yoongi. Yoongi.
We see the genius. Yes.
ARMY would have known.
He's like maybe worried about being too artistic and, yeah, too far out there now. And we're like, yeah, no, give it to us.
They're like, it's either this crazy chorus or the title of the song. Only one can be hella vague.
We used to like track breadcrumbs to try to understand, you know, like cinematic storylines, right? Like we can understand some title and lyrics, you know? Anyways, so, but all in verse three, he starts by saying, so goes the person and so goes the love. What comes at the end of love? Endless people, a love that has passed by, a love, or then he says, is love wholly perfect on its own? So a lot of kind of talking about how people go and love goes, and it's kind of like appreciate it when you have it, but wondering what happens when you don't. Mm-hmm. And if love itself can be like this perfect, amazing thing, kind of like he was questioning at the beginning of if it can even be unconditional. So he just has a lot of doubt around people's intentions around love.
Yeah.
And if they're loving purely, if they're loving because they want to love, or if their love is somehow selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says selflessness can actually be selfish too. It's true. It's actually my greed when I say it's all for you. Will I be happy if I give up my greed? A half illusion that can never be fulfilled. And I thought a lot about this selflessness. Like, can it actually be like true, genuine altruism, you know? And this is like a philosophical question that people really say. Like, I care for people, you know, I help people in my career, but a lot of people will go and help others or like do charity work because it makes you feel good too. So you get some kind of, you know, reward out of it.
Yeah.
So that part could be seen as selfishness in a way because you're benefiting from it too.
Right.
So I think that's what he's asking here, you know, is like, can selflessness actually be true selflessness, or is it there's a part of it that's actually selfish too.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, it's actually my greed when I say that it's all for you. So, I mean, he's saying like to love someone or give someone everything, but like it's actually coming from, you know, personal benefit too, you know, like giving you so much makes me feel good. Like there's a little bit of greed in there that makes me want to love you or support you so much.
Right. Yeah. This also just made me think about in the context of like BTS as a group at this time too, or even in chapter two, like thinking about the act of going into chapter two and doing solo work, like that could be perceived as a selfish or a selfless act. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that a member that maybe wanted to stay as the whole group and not go into chapter two and do solo work would maybe think that it's selfless to say, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, I love you so much that we're going to do this, or, you know, vice versa. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that they, I think, ultimately care for each other so deeply that they would make that decision, whatever's going to be best for them. But just because it makes me think about them as a group and how that dynamic would be, I think about the greed when I say it's all for you, makes me think about like when he says, it's all for ARMY. He does it all for the fans.
Yeah.
You know, like he's talked a lot about his insatiable greed to just keep climbing, just make more money, just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta imagine that greed would contribute to him wanting to or not wanting to go into chapter two, you know, depending on how he saw a way for more greed, or, you know, like his greediness guiding him one way or another. Like he could say, I want to keep going for ARMY. But he might not actually truly within himself like, want to keep going for ARMY.
Yeah.
He wants to go to benefit himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love, if that is what he's meaning here, I love the honesty, because I think that any of us in that position would truly feel that way. Like, mm-hmm. I think deep down you would know, like, yes, I love my fans and everything that I make is like for them to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that we have this connection, but also you know how much it benefits you when you make a record that makes Billboard number one, you know,
right.
You know that you make bank off of that.
Yeah.
So.
And you celebrate that and you take pride in
exactly.
that. Right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing
right?
at all. Yoongi has been so work oriented, and he has specifically talked about doing tracks that he knows is going to be a pop song, that he knows is going to be a popular track because he wants to work on that. You know, that's really not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if that's contributing to him here.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I love the honesty too. I really do.
Yeah.
I think that this whole verse is just so fascinating to me. And it's really made me think a lot about selflessness, if that really is truly a thing because of just like the personal kind of benefit you get too from doing acts of selflessness, right?
Yeah, the payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all about your intention too. I don't want to say that there's no such thing as doing a selfless act, right? I think that loving others and caring for others, it's all about what your intention is. Like, you don't go in thinking, oh, I'm doing this so I can feel better. You're going in because you want to help that person,
right?
You know, and I think that's what makes it a selfless act. But of course, there's going to be some kind of personal reward from it too, because it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That's not the motive.
And I like the verb that he uses. It can be like, it's not always going to be, but it could be. It depends on your intent, on your motive there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's really like the climax of the song is the bridge. And what makes it the climax is that the instrumental drops out.
Mm-hmm.
So it really stands out. Yeah, you really hear it.
You're listening to
You're him. Listening. You're tuned in as if you weren't the whole time. But so just to say what he talked about, he says, they say life's a struggle between resistance and submission. I say it's a struggle against loneliness. If you can't hold it back, it's okay to cry. You're already more than enough to be loved. So time is yet now. And what made this so like impactful beyond like the instrumental dropping out is that like when you're watching this, of course, on the debut of the music video, he has this super close-up shot of him, you know, delivering this. And he just really is giving us all of this emotion through his delivery here. And I think that most of ARMY immediately latched on to the verse, the line that said, you're already more than enough to be loved. Hearing that from Yoongi is like very, very comforting and like always such a great reminder from like any member of BTS who we love so much, for them to remind us like we're enough, you know, like it kind of throws us back to the love yourself eras a bit, which is always such a great time of self-love. And I love that it's, you know, this is a letter to himself, that he was talking to himself during the pandemic. So he's reminding himself that he's more than enough to be loved regardless of like how lonely he feels. You know, he talked about that life is a struggle against loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
So he can be loved regardless of how people are about it, or what love means, or what people's intentions are.
Even if he's cautious
or he's unsure if it can really be unconditional or selfless, but like he's deserving of it, and he's deserving to love himself and to feel that love.
I also find it to be a really powerful statement coming from Yoongi, saying life's a struggle between resistance and submission. I say it's a struggle against loneliness, because a lot of BTS's music, especially in the early days, were about that like resistance and submission, you know, societal norms and not submitting to it, you know, like a dog on a leash.
Right.
Like they've talked a lot about that in their lyrics.
Bepse.
And he's saying that, no, they say that that's what the true struggle in this world is. The real struggle is we all want to be loved. It's the struggle against loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
We want to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want others to love us. We want to share love with other people and love on other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a struggle against loneliness. Like that's the true human desire is to be loved and feel loved.
Yeah.
And you're already more than enough to be loved.
Yeah. Like you don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
You don't need to prove anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like love is like the opposite of loneliness here. Like what you're really striving for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was a really great interview that Yoongi did with Billboard, and we just wanted to share a quote that we felt really went along with this bridge. So he said, quote, in the past, and I've said this in my interviews, personally, I think loneliness is being together in modern society. I always talk about loneliness in my interviews, but regretfully, it isn't always in the final interview. Not only me, everyone has this loneliness inside of them until the moment they die. However deep you are in a relationship, how much you engage with other people, how many friends you meet, or how often you meet with your family, you always have the loneliness inside. So I started with this keyword of loneliness 3 years ago in 2020, and I wouldn't say there's much difference in that everybody can feel, pain and agonized. It's the same with me. Whether it's me from BTS, Suga, Min Yoongi, or Auguste, I always have that inside me too. People might see me as someone who wouldn't have any concerns or worries, or that I don't feel any agony, but I feel those emotions too. I'm trying to find a way to fight those and overcome those too. This album doesn't really finalize everything in its message either, so there might be a possibility there could be a part three later on. For now, we're just trying to say, let's not hate each other, let's find a way. And I just feel like that's a really wonderful spiel that he has about loneliness, and that how he feels everyone has that little bit of loneliness inside of them always, no matter where you are at in your life, how many people love you, how much self-love you're feeling at the time. It almost feels like loneliness is this like little bit of fear that never goes away within us. Yeah. Like the fear of maybe not being loved, the fear of losing that self-love.
Yeah. Oh man, maybe he'll elaborate that in On Amygdala.
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that this loneliness that he speaks of, it's interesting to me that this is the only time and the first time that it's coming up in the song. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of the song, at the very end, we hadn't really thought about how loneliness plays a factor in the relationship between people and love up to this point. And it really stands out as a key word here because this, again, the impact of the bridge and his delivery here. And so I do think that he really, really wants us to remember that it's okay to struggle with that loneliness, and it's okay to cry about it, like he says here, and it's okay to seek that love and to love yourself, but to like give and receive love from others, and to, I think, let yourself open up to it. Because at the beginning of the song, he talked about how cautious he felt about love and how he was really choosy with who he would open up to and build relationships with, because he was fearful, it seemed, of how he was treated in the past. He was not very loved. Maybe he's unsure of how to be loved, you know, but he doesn't have to do anything, you know, he can be loved here. And I just love that. Well, I'm using the word love so much, but, you know, he doesn't have to change.
Right.
Yeah.
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 It's powerful. This bridge is very powerful. Yeah. And then we get one more chorus and that's the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much to interpret from it. We'd love to hear what you guys think of a lot of these lyrics.
Come to the Iconic Hangout.
Yeah, definitely come to the Iconic Hangout. Yeah. These verses are all packed and they all build off of one another. And I feel like every time I read it, I think of something else. Mm. We had a really wonderful, beautiful weekend this past weekend. And I went on a long hike after we had researched. And I just felt like I had so many other different interpretations while I was on the hike. I couldn't stop thinking about these lyrics.
Yeah.
So definitely let us know what you think.
Yeah. I'm sure that literally once we end this episode, like as I'm driving home, I'll think about like four things.
Yeah. I'll be like, why didn't we mention that? Oh my God, why didn't we interpret it that way when we were recording?
So everything that you're thinking as we're talking about these lyrics, come to the Iconic Hangout and tell us, because we all want to know. We're waiting for your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into the music video.
Yeah, we're going to give a little bit of an overview of the music video. This isn't a music video like, you analysis, know, Face Off. Yeah, it's not an analysis. It doesn't need much to go, but we do get a little bit of like a story and a message from it and some standout moments as well. So the music video seems to take place during the pandemic. And in the music video, we see Yoongi kind of struggling against writer's block in his home and at like various times of day. Mm-hmm. We also see him in the creation process of this song that he's struggling to write, both in his home studio at first and then later at a like professional studio producing and singing. So perhaps like it's this song. We see him singing the vocals for this song in the recording studio. So it seems like it's the creation of this song, or maybe implying the creation of D-Day itself, which makes me excited for the D-Day documentary too.
It could be a glimpse into the documentary.
Yeah.
That's like a little foreshadow.
Yeah, a little foreshadow, I think. I think Min Genius would make that connection. Yeah. We also, in his house, we see him happily lounging around and taking in the views and playing with this sweet pup who is the director's dog, actually.
Yeah.
But very cute. And he just seems very natural this whole time. This is like Min Yoongi the human. This is not August D. This is not Suga. This is just Min Yoongi.
Yeah.
He does, at times, when he's lounging around, seems a a bit lonely, a bit pensive, like maybe as he's like leaning up against the wall with a cup of coffee and golden hour gazing off, you know,
gazing off there into the distance, looks a little lonely.
Yeah, there is some hints of loneliness here and there, but it's not like constant. And just like the overall vibe of the song, the music video doesn't feel like somber and doesn't have this like overall loneliness.
No, it has a lot of brightness to it.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. So a couple standout moments here. When the first pre-chorus hits, the "so far away you're gone," Yoongi is staring deeply into his reflection in the mirror. And it seems like he's really feeling like he's lost himself in this moment. He's looking at himself as if he's like, I don't know who you are. Yeah. Just very pensive here when he's looking at himself.
So this is maybe a way to add to the original meaning that we interpreted from that pre-chorus there. You know, like we had said, maybe he's saying like, who's that your? Is it ARMY? Is it BTS?
Is it himself?
It's himself. You know, he's staring at the mirror.
I don't even think I said that. But like, yeah, I mean,
who didn't lose themselves during the pandemic, right? It's not something that you think about that maybe he's talking to himself here until we see him staring.
Yeah. During verse two, when he says, this is the us that dreamt of a future is no more. He's sitting in his home studio with like this faraway look on his face. So it seems like he's daydreaming about BTS and their lives together, what they've lost and their potential future.
Yeah. I mean, especially as he's like sitting there working on music, it seems like that's what he would be thinking on, especially lining up with those lyrics there too.
Yeah.
And then during the bridge, I kind of talked about earlier, those super close-up shots of his face, super impactful. It just, his passion really comes through. But the first time that we see him just blatantly face the camera and stare into the camera is when he delivers the line, "You're already more than enough to be loved." It's this beautiful shot too. He's like surrounded by this purple lilac bush. Like, of course it's purple.
Very ARMY.
And he just looks so handsome and lovely, and it's just this, I mean, very comforting shot and moment. It was, I think, the biggest takeaway shot for me just watching the music video for the first time.
Me too.
So wow, I really love the music video. I don't have like too much to say about it beyond that, because I don't think that it was more about the song itself. I think the music video and the creation process of the song.
He wanted to show us the creation process and showed a little bit of that writer's block, that loneliness he felt during the pandemic. Yeah, all of that. So I love getting to see the creation process here in the music video. And I do think it's foreshadowing what's to come with the D-Day documentary that's going to be on Disney+.
Very excited for that.
Yeah.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, wow. I absolutely love People Part 2.
Me too.
I think it is incredible. I love the lyricism going on here. And just, I think we're going to continue to ponder all of the relations between people and love, you know, as we go about our week. And we're definitely looking forward to hearing your guys' thoughts at the Iconic Hangout in a couple days.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, we do want to say thanks to our supporters on Patreon, our VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia. Thank you so much for your support. We love you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. DM us or whatever. And you can find links for all of those things, as well as the Stroke Foundation, in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.